Chapter number 4. We looked at the character of Christ's gifts yesterday and the four offices. We also saw why he was able to give these gifts because what he has done on Calvary. And so now we're going to look today at the functions of the assembly. The function of the assembly. Why do we assemble together? What's our function as a New Testament local church? What does God want us to do? And then we're going to, if I have time, get into the Christian walk. We don't walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of our minds, but we walk as children of Christ. All right? So this week, we're going to look at the functions of the assembly, and we'll start in verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. For the perfecting of the saints. So the gifted office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, was given for a specific purpose, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joint together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. Dear Heavenly Father, we need to focus on the head of the church, which is Christ today. God, help us to focus on Christ. Help us by your Spirit to look to this wonderful head that we have in our church, Jesus Christ, our loving Savior, who gave his life for us so that we might have full redemption, full forgiveness of sin, and eternal life in heaven with him. God bless us during this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we understand that the head of the church is Christ, and Christ is a perfectly proportioned head. He's perfect in proportion. He is perfect in his leadership. He is perfect in everything that he has led us to do through giving us his Holy Spirit and also giving us his word to study. We as a church are the body. Now, are we in perfect proportion to our head? In other words, we have a perfectly proportioned adult mature head and a baby body. All right? That doesn't look right, does it? Can you imagine somebody with a perfectly proportioned head and a little tiny arms and little tiny torso and little tiny legs? We would say there's a problem with that, would we not? So we want, as a church, to be proportioned to our head. So God gave preachers and teachers. We looked at the other three. We discussed last week how the other three, the apostle, prophet, and in some people's determination, evangelists, were first century gifted preachers, and they have since ceased. You can do what you will with the evangelist, okay? But what we do know is that the pastor who, one of the qualifications of a pastor is that he is apt to teach. Now let me say very quickly that one office is missing. And you know what office that is? The deacon. We don't have deacon-run church. We have elder-run churches. Pastor, not pastor singular, but men of God who come together who are qualified to make the decisions in the church. Obviously, you have a lead decision maker within that. So what's the purpose of these decision makers? The purpose is in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So we see three fours in here, three fours. The first four is pros. It means for the advantage of. So the pastor teacher was given to bring advantages to the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting means the maturity of the saints, the completing of the saints. So my job as a pastor is to preach the word of God so that you can grow up into your head. So we don't have a church that has a perfectly proportioned head and little baby bodies. Where do you fit in that? You're a member. If you're a member of Bethel Baptist Church, you fit somewhere. Maybe you're a finger. Let's not be a finger that is a baby finger. Let's not be a hand that is a baby hand. How many of you have ever seen somebody that was born with a defect? And I grew up with a lady from Fairhaven that was born with a defect. And she was born without her arm. Okay? So it was right off at the shoulder. But it was very interesting because when she wanted to, she could push out of her arm this little tiny finger. And she would do that sometimes. This little tiny finger that would hold things for her and different things. She was very athletic and she loved volleyball. So she put out this little tiny finger to hold the volleyball while she... Everybody would say that's a defect. That's a problem. That doesn't take away from her worth in the sight of God. It's just something's not right. Right? So if you're a member of Bethel Baptist Church and your head were to look down at you, would he say, something's not right? You're not in correct proportion to the head. You're not maturing in the head. You're not getting into the Word of God and being led by the Spirit. You've allowed other things into your life that have taken away from the main focus you should be focused on as a Christian, and that is to be perfected, that is to be matured, that is to be proportionate to the head of this church, which is Jesus Christ. So of pastors, me and Pastor Unger get up and we preach. And I'll get into what we do. But when we preach, we point to the Word of God so that you can be matured through the Word of God and through the Spirit to be in correct proportion. So I am given for the advantage of you being perfected in Christ. There is another four that is a different Greek word, and the next two fours are this different Greek word. And what do they mean? Well, the in reference to. So I am perfecting you in reference to the work of the ministry. And the saints is referred to the and for or referred to the edifying of the body of Christ. So the saints who have been perfected are to do the work of the ministry. The saints that have been perfected by the advantage of the pastor preaching to them are to edify the body of Christ. I point to our head. I pray that you are proportionate to the head. Once I preach, once I pray, it is your job to mature. It is your job to do the work of the ministry. It is your job to edify each other in Christ. How are we doing, church? We can put everything in this world above our main focus, and our main focus is to be perfected by preaching and to be going out and ministering and edifying the body. That's what you're called to do, Bethel Baptist member. Do you think Satan wants us to do this? No, Satan doesn't want us to do this. So he puts everything in the way for us to not do what God wants. Let's go to 1 Peter. Keep your hands in Ephesians 4, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Says 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3 says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but examples of the flock. So heritage and flock in verse number 3 are talking about the same thing. They're synonyms talking about the same thing. So it's very important for us to understand what this all means. Flock, heritage. They come from, the heritage comes from the word clerion. And clerion is the word behind clergy. Who is the clergy in the local church? The members. See, the Catholic Church has reversed this. They say that the leadership is the clergy and the people are the laity. The people, according to the Bible, are the ministers in the church. They are the servants in the church to do the work of the ministry. You don't just come to church to get fed and you just keep that food to yourself. You're not coming to church so you can be edified and not edifying anybody else. The purpose of church is for us to come together and to minister one to another. Where's your ministry? Where's your edifying to the church? Well, I have my life. Oh, you don't have your life. You don't have your life. Your life's not your own. You are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You're the temple of God. You're not your own. You're the flock of God if you're a Christian. I'm quite tired of Christians saying, I want to do my own thing. It's my life. No, it's your choice. It's not your life. Okay. Keep on running after the world. Keep on trying to chase the world. Keep on trying to put your priorities in the things of the world. If you're a Christian, God's not going to let you get away with that. And we got a bunch of baby Christians in our movement that know how to dress right on Sunday, know how to talk right and give all the right answers, but they have no relationship with their head because they made it all about them instead of them being all about God. I heard a preacher say it like this week. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Everything besides God is a means. When you start to worship means, you're committing idolatry. Money is a means. Professions are means. Family is means. Church, the only one that isn't a means and is the end is God. And then he added the second point. When we start to treat God as if he's a means, then that's idolatry. So I'm going to come to Sunday and I'm going to put on my suit. I'm going to put on my tie. Guys look great. I love it. Dressed up for church, looking good. We love all that. Is it your life or is it just a means to get you where you want to go in your life? That's baby stuff. That's baby Christianity. That's not what God has purposed in Bethel Baptist Church. He's purposed that you do the work of the ministry, that you edify the body of Christ. How we doing, church? Wow. So as we come over, we're understanding that we are the ministers of this church. We are not laity if we are members of Bethel Baptist Church, but the pastor and the teaching preachers of this church are trying to get you to the point of maturity so you can minister and edify each other in the church. We must work together. We all as members need to have a ministry. And we need to be faithful to that ministry. So what's the ministry we need to have? Well, the first ministry as a father is to my family. Well, the first ministry that I have as a member of Bethel Baptist Church is to ensure that my relationship with my head is correct. Amen? So there's a personal ministry that each one of you need to do. The personal ministry is make sure that you and your head are in personal relationship. And this is what we must be careful of at Bethel Baptist Church. We must be careful of all the outward conformity, which I'm for, all right? All this outward conformity, all this religious language, not touching who we are. And we have no personal relationship with Christ. We have no real walk with Christ. We just lean on our own understanding and we walk in the emptiness of our own thoughts instead of being led and directed through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God so that He can show me the next step I'm supposed to take in life. We must make sure that our relationship with Christ is right. Secondly, our relationship with our families must be right. Fathers need to start taking and becoming heads of their homes. They need to start training up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers need to start leading. If you want to, if there's one ministry you fathers can do at Bethel Baptist Church, is lead your family in the Word of God. If our fathers in this church would get serious about leading their family in the Word of God, we'd mature. We'd grow. We wouldn't have baby bodies with a perfectly proportioned head. Fathers, what are you doing? What are you doing to lead your family in the Word of God? What are you doing to incorporate, starting with me, Bible study? What are you doing to incorporate teaching and preparing your children for the life that's ahead of them? Not just so that, look, there's a lot of rich people in this world that are completely miserable. And there's a lot of poor Christians that are happy all day long. Amen? Who are you serving? Read Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 34. Man, the devil has this day and age so focused on serving everything else besides God. And now church has been a place where you can come because that's what you're supposed to do so you can have a wealthy, healthy life. No, no. You come to church to be ministers. You come to church to edify others. You can't edify others when you're busy chasing this world and the fashions of this world and the thoughts of this world. And you're making what's culturally accepted, the God of your life instead of the God of the Bible being your life. You're not going to be ministers in the church until you figure this out, Christian. Oh, you can do ministries. You can dress correctly on Sunday and play the piano or teach a Sunday school class or watch babies. But if you're not developing yourself personally in the Lord, you're doing that all in vain and for show. And it doesn't make you mature. It makes you a hypocrite, really. Do we want to be hypocrites? Pretending to be one thing at church and playing another thing outside of church? Look, you only come to church Wednesdays and Sundays. What's the rest of the week look like? Well, you say, Pastor, I'd be ashamed if you knew what was going on. Your head sees everything you do. He sees what you post. He sees what you like. He sees what you run after. Your head sees. Christ sees. But we have dimmed our relationship with Christ to the point where He doesn't matter anymore. What Christ thinks doesn't matter. What do the professionals of this world who mock Christ think? Oh, that's what's important because that's how I can get ahead in life. Whew. Hey, when the professionals in Daniel's day said, if you pray in public, we're going to throw you to the lions, what did Daniel do? He had some internal fortitude, and he said, I'm not going to change because I have a personal relationship with God. He talks with me, and he walks with me, and he leads me in the path that I should go. I'm not going to let some edict determine what I'm going to do. Are we praying for each other? To be real Christians? Guys, I just want real Christians. Come with the messiness. Come, don't put on an act with me, because God sees it all anyways. Be real in who you are in your brokenness, and God can work with that. Then, as you develop a relationship with God, and as you're walking with God, and as he's maturing you in his word, then you can do correct cleaning in the church. Then you can do correct teaching in the church. Then you can walk alongside of somebody that's going through something and correctly guide them in the scriptures and what they need to do. It was funny today because my wife was having her devotions and me and the kids were in the room and we were talking and we were not being very kind about a certain situation. And man, I was getting in the flesh about what I was going to do. And guess where she was reading? Luke chapter 6. And guess what it says? Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And I said, that was a movement of the Holy Spirit in the McDonald house just now. And I had to repent. And I had to say, I'm wrong. I have the wrong attitude. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Because my head didn't want me to come in the flesh. My head wanted me to preach the word of God through the power of the Spirit. If you're not living the Christian life, and you're not striving to live the Christian life, and you're chasing after the world, I would prefer that you didn't do ministries at Bethel Baptist Church. Did you hear me? Well, I'd prefer that you'd sit and do nothing and get right with God. That's what I'd prefer. Be real, because Christ sees you anyways. Now, I'm going to keep preaching, and I'm going to stop meddling. All right. The local church perfection, verses 13 through 16. What happens when the Bible is followed and the Holy Spirit uses his word to change people's lives? What happens? Well, we see a complete man. We see us growing to the stature and the fullness of the body. We see that we're no more children, but we're grown-ups. We see that the whole body is fitly joined to its head. Amen? Are we ready to grow up? Are we ready to be real? Are we ready to walk and have a relationship with God? Are we done playing Christianity? Are we done learning all the religious tools and the correct speech? I'm telling you, God is growing us in such a way that we're getting first generation Christians that don't know church language. And I love it, because it's messy and it's real. And that's what I want. I want real. Choose you, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of this world and of the Canaanites. But as for me and my house, we're going to choose to serve the Lord. Some of you fathers need to tell your families that. Not just tell your families, make active plans to direct your family in that way. Paul's purpose through the parallels is to liken the church to a baby that needs to grow up to maturity. We need to grow and be proportional to the head. For a baby to grow, it must have the proper diet. Fathers, one of the best things that you could do for your homes is shut off the social media and the garbage that you're pumping in through the entertainment in your homes. You're pumping in garbage. And that's what your family's eating. Did I say social media is sinful? I would never say that. Well, I say it up here sometimes, but I would never say it. You know, how much time do you listen to the Bible? How much time do you listen to the things of God? How much time do you listen to good sermons? How much time do you listen to Christian music that uplifts you and glorifies God? What is your diet at home? What are you intaking at home? Remember, your head sees everything you like on social media. Your head sees everything you post. Your head sees everything you watch. Hello? These are the problems of today's church. We're so busy pumping in poison to our home that we can't even hear the voice of God anymore through His Word. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm not talking about the audible voice. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us and convicting us. We can't hear it anymore. Our coping mechanisms isn't to run to the Word of God anymore, is it? And everybody says we have so much knowledge of what the world says, and we know how the brain works, and we know about all this stuff. But our marriages are falling apart. Our families are falling apart. Christians are acting no different than the world. There's a problem, church. And I love you all very much. But I want to see us grow. I'm tired of fake Christianity. I'm tired of not having a personal relationship with God, aren't you? My soul should, and your soul should, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Like a thirsty deer panteth for water when it's thirsty. And by the way, it's dangerous sometimes to get water for a deer. That's where all the predators lurk, right? But he doesn't care, or she doesn't care. That buck or that doe doesn't care because it wants water. As we get serious about following God, guess who else is going to get serious about attacking us? We're going to face depression. We're going to face the fiery darts of the wicked one like we couldn't imagine when we get serious. Ah, church, are we serious about longing for Christ? Are we serious about taking account of where we fit into the body and the maturity level that we are in that body? Jude 1:3 says, the one faith, or the biblical faith. Huh! There's one faith that will grow us into maturity. What do you mean? If I want to grow, I'm not to listen to what Dr. Oz has to say? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Turn off Dr. Oz. Huh? Turn him off. Well, Oprah said, well, I mean, I just feel so good when I listen to some false teacher teach me, and they make my feelings feel so good, and they give me every excuse of how I don't have to really obey, and my sin is more of a mental crisis than an actual rebellion against God. You might go through mental crisis, but that doesn't give you an excuse to sin. Amen? It gives you an opportunity to draw closer to God. And many times Christians go through mental crisis because they've left God and are trying to live their own lives. Not all the time, the majority of the time. And today, if you want an excuse to excuse yourself from anything with bad behavior, you got some doctor to say how you can excuse it. The Bible doesn't excuse it. Are we going to be biblical Christians? Are we going to be socially accepted Christians? This is our only authority for living. And I'm fine with you going to biblical counselors that can hit specific areas that you're working with to open up the Bible to you. And I am not downplaying true depression and all that kind of stuff. Don't hear that. What I'm saying is, everything that the world has to offer should just be a means to get you closer to this word. Does everybody understand that? That's all it should be. It should not be your savior. Your head is your savior. Are you having the correct diet? When people say, I'm so mentally in anguish, I can't read the Bible right now. Well, that doesn't stop the devil. And it's easy for you to go on and do things that won't bring you closer to Christ, even through your mental anguish. Amen. The one thing that would save you is getting into the Word of God and getting a true relationship with Jesus Christ and saying, hey, I'm not going to be a double-minded man. I'm going to have a singular focus, and that's on the Word of God. Are we hearing what I'm preaching today? By the way, I'll get on the right wing. It's not our standards that accomplish that either. All right, so I'm getting on both sides. I believe in standards. I believe in dress standards, music standards, all the rest. But if I'm looking to that in my religious, and as what is the most important instead of growing in my head as the most important, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be a Pharisee. And I'm going to get tired, and I'm going to live a defeated Christian life, and then I'm going to make some stupid decisions, foolish decisions, because I never had a true relationship with Jesus. Yeah, I'm saved, but I never grew after that. Hey, what's your diet? What's your diet? Is it healthy? What are you consuming? Do you want to be a minister in the house of God? What's your diet like? Men, unplug the computer. Determine that you're not going to be on the computer after 10 o'clock at night. Look, most decisions aren't good decisions after 10:30. Determine, I'm going to get the correct amount of sleep so I can wake up and get into the Word. Determine, I'm going to feed myself with the correct diet. Some of us need to confess and forsake our diet. Am I being clear enough for everybody?
Yes.
Now, let me say this. I have to preach at me first, because I can get into the wrong diet. Do you know what I need to do? Confess and forsake that diet. Let me make one more statement on this subject. If you're afraid for your wife or your husband to see your YouTube history or your whatever. What's the other ones? Your browsing. You online browsing. Then let me say something. You probably shouldn't be doing it. And you need to remember this. Guess who sees your browsing? Do you think that when you delete your browsing, Jesus doesn't know what you saw? You say, Pastor, why are you preaching so pointed? Because the devil's that pointed. And the devil is wreaking havoc in our culture, and it's affecting our church. And I'm seeing philosophies of this world start to creep into our church. And like a good shepherd, I need to knock the wolf in the head. Boom. That's wrong teaching. And I'm doing it in love, and I love people despite their decisions. But it is not my job, and it is not Pastor Unger's job, to coddle wrong thinking. Amen. It's our job to expose it and preach against it. All right. In a correct diet, our goal is strong meat. Strong meat, according to Hebrews chapter 5:12, is equal to precise understanding of the Word of God. The one Spirit given to us at salvation and who is in this local New Testament church teaches us the same when we come to the Scriptures. You have to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. You cannot divorce the written Word of God from the living Word of God. You cannot divorce the character of Christ and how you obey the Word. I'm going to obey the Word in anger and frustration. I'm going to do it. But you never ask any grace from your head? You never ask your gracious Heavenly Father to enable you to do the Word? You never have patience and grace with others? You're never long-suffering? You don't have tenderness towards other people? Say, Pastor, this is not the message for you to preach on tenderness. You've been pretty harsh. I am tender in my harshness because I know that we know that Christ wants to change us through His Word. Another thing, you have to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Okay, we grow up to full stature in Christ. Every wind of doctrine. We see doctrine is thrown at us in all directions. 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about men's teaching. Men teaching women and men and women training children. But there's false teachers that come in, and what do? Man, like a little boat on the ocean that gets hit by winds every different direction. How is that boat going to respond? Man, it's going to be tossed to and fro, isn't it? That's why God so many times uses man's philosophy and men's kingdoms, and He pictures it by sea. Why? Because they're so shaky. Men are so shaky. It's like building your house on sand. Christian, we're going to crash when the storms come if we build our house on entertainment, if we build our house on the philosophies of the world, if we build our houses on the shifting sands. When I was growing up, you were not allowed to eat butter. You could only eat, margarine. I can't believe it's not butter. That was a popular thing in our house. Now they say, no, margarine causes cancer. You need to eat butter. Evolution has changed its philosophy some 18 times. The Word of God still teaches that the world was created in 6 literal days. It hasn't changed in thousands of years. Amen. Oh, the way you need to do money is invest in real estate. Oh, no, don't invest in real estate. That's the quickest way to lose money. Oh, I'm going to get this job and I'll make a lot of money. And then 10 years down the road, oh, that job isn't invalid anymore. Now I got to get into a different field. Listen, I'm all for people getting into fields. And I'm all for people making money. But if you're not praying to God in the field that He's directing you in, and you're not praying to God, and you make, oh, this is the best field because it makes me the most money, you know what's going to happen? God's going to say, ha-ha, Christian, boom. I'm going to pull the rug of your trust and money right from under your feet. And then some people that you think should make the least amount of money. Put others first, and God blesses them. Amen?
Amen.
What I'm trying to say, Christian, is we can trust in Christ, our head. And He will lead us in the paths that we should go. And if we want to be a ministering church to each other, we're going to have to be a church that trusts in Christ first. Oh, but what does the world use? It uses false dice and crafty measures. Oh, yeah, it's just like those gamblers that were card sharks. They know how to put the right cards in so that they always make the money. Oh, there's some pastors that way. There's some teachers that way. Oh, they'll make you feel really good. Christian, the devil's going to, in your darkest, lowest times, the devil's going to put one of his servants to whisper in your ear, you don't have to follow that. You don't have to put that guardrail up in your life. You're not really sinning. You're okay. Look at how miserable your life is. Come my way. You'll be so happy. You'll be filled with joy if you just do this. And he starts to whisper. And then he brings that servant of his into your life that will come and tell you everything you want to hear. And they'll be so smooth in their words. And all they want is your destruction. Wake up, church. It's not time to be asleep. It's time to get serious. What is our goal? To grow to the full stature of Christ, to be in proportion with our head. Baby needs to have proper rest. We need peace. When we come to church, we can't get caught up in every 2 Timothy talks to the pastor. Don't argue about foolishness. All right? You notice Pastor James doesn't talk about politics that much anymore. You know why? Because I'm not changing it. It is what it is. I vote, and I try to be a good citizen, but I don't waste my time with all the political mess anymore. Why? Because, not for everybody, but for me, it gets me caught up into foolishness. Oh, did you hear what the latest politician said? Did you? Come on. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for the foolishness of, I got to find the lost tribe of Israel. I don't have time for that type of foolishness. I don't have time for the foolishness of conservative radio or liberal radio. I have to be in the scriptures. And I have to be reading and preparing my heart and walking with the Lord and praying for you. I don't have time for that. We have time to serve the Lord. We have time to whatever God calls us to do, to be lights and salts to this lost world. That's what we have time to do. Babies need proper caretakers. 1 Peter 5:2, feed the flock of God. The proper caretaker avoids three things. I avoid being a professional. I'm not doing this as a profession. That is what constraint means in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. But I'm doing this because I'm willing. I'm not doing things because I'm doing it because it's my professional duty to do. I'm doing things because I love people. That's what a pastor is supposed to do. Second thing, materialism. I can't be a good pastor if I'm always thinking about how much money I'll make. Or what's the love offering going to be if I preach at this conference? But of a willing mind. And authoritarianism. I can't be lords over God's flock. I can't demand that you get rid of things. I can't demand that you walk a certain way in your life. I can preach on it, but I can't demand it. You have to make that choice. And what if you make the wrong choice? What will Pastor James do? He'll love and pray, because that's my job, and preach. Love, pray, preach. Love, pray, preach. Love, pray, preach. If you're going to grow up in the Lord, not only are you going to have the proper diet, not only are you going to have proper peace, not only are you going to have a proper caretaker, but you're going to have proper exercise. You're going to have to exercise yourself in the Word of God. How many of you guys like to exercise? There's some of you that enjoy physical exercise. I force myself to do physical exercise. It's equally as hard to do spiritual exercise in the Word of God. The devil doesn't just sit there and say, oh, guess what? I have a Christian that's serious about reading the Bible. You know? They can't go to sleep. The only time that they can really sleep is when they open the Word of God. Oh, here's a saint that's serious about prayer. I'm not going to send any problems while he's trying to pray to come into his mind. Oh, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to send any doubt when he kneels to pray to me. Oh, no. I'm just going to let him pray. How many of you have ever noticed when you're doing fleshly things, the devil doesn't ever send worry to you? How many of you have ever noticed that? How many of you ever noticed when you're scrolling or you're looking at something you shouldn't look at or you're trying to follow the fads and the fashions of this world and you're liking and you're dreaming about going your own way? The devil never attacks you then, does he? It's when you say, I'm going to follow the Lord. Oh, if you follow the Lord, this can go wrong, this can go wrong, this can go wrong, this can go wrong, this can go wrong. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Proper exercise. Speak the truth in love. Grow up in Him into all things because He's the head. We're going to be fitly joined together with our head as we become serious about our walk with Him. As we preach the Word of God, as we teach the Scripture, as we don't compromise and people respond by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how we grow up. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. God, may you use it to work in our lives. May you use it to change us. God, there's some people in here that need to take serious their relationship with you. God, we love you and thank you for all that you've done. Bless us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. In the red? 166 in the red song book for closing hymn. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Let's stand as we sing.